here. It's a little strange for me also, because everyone wants to speak to me. and I need to also be present in everyone. I need to give my best in all individual relationships. I need to understand. I need to encourage. And so on. How is it for me? For me, it is really... It is good if it's good for you. It's not good if it's not good for you. I'm your servant in the festival. And what I perceive is this situation, that many of us have our lives. We don't live in the temples. We live outside temples and do our services from there and live our lives from there. And then all of a sudden, we are thrown into a situation which is absolutely unusual for us. And many of us have not prepared themselves for jumping into the Yamuna or and therefore we are trying to find out how to move. So I would like, especially for this day, do a little framing for you. A frame is what is around a picture, and which helps us to appreciate and see a picture better. At least that's the reason why we put a frame around it. So I would like to put a frame around this day. This day is celebrated amongst the Vaishnavas as maybe the most important day. I know, for instance, that the Vaishnava community in Sri Ramaradakund, where many wonderful Vaishnavas live, who have taken shelter under the lotus feet of Radharani, they start with 2 weeks before Nityananda Trayodashi to have Nityananda Katha going on, and long kirtans, and prepare themselves in this way for this day, which they consider the highlight in the spiritual life, because of one and only one reason, and that is that the Vaishnavas feel my progress is not so much dependent on my own efforts, but on the mercy which comes to me and which empowers me. And in the search for the most merciful aspect of the Lord, they come to Nityananda. The search ends at Nityananda. You can't go. You can't have a more, let me say, merciful face of the Lord than the face of Nityananda. So they prepare themselves for 2 weeks for this day in order to make sure that they are really ready receptacles, something where you receive something, like a water glass is a receptacle for water. So they prepare their hearts to be a receptacle. What is the English word? Receptacle? A receptacle of that... mercy without limits. And sometimes I do feel that we don't take enough care of preparing ourselves spiritually, and also, and here you will be surprised that you have the teacher of the Vedic way before you, physically. Some of you are, you know, you need, because you are modern people and you are not unlimitedly stored in your body and in your mind. You need to take care that your body and mind is not disturbing you, and you need to take care. This is not spiritual; it is a material thing, but it supports your spiritual life. It is necessary. We have to be realistic. We are in need of support on all the levels of our human existence, so that we can be there. I would like to give you an example, because I feel this is something which is lacking. When I go to Vrindavan and do my japa marathon, my Shravan Kirtan marathon, that is early morning, believe it or not, I get up really early and go. But I do, you can ask Ananda Chaitanya, I do 45 minutes exercise each day, because I know if I don't do it, I will not be able to chant with concentration and sit for such a long time. It is very difficult for me to do it, because in Vrindavan, that's the last thing you want to do, you know. Breathe in and out. Suya namaskar, how boring. I pray to Guruji, always, please excuse me, but I know it's not. But and those who are very strong sadhakas, they know the secret. They need to take care. It's called which one of the two? Gona Bhakti and Mukhya Bhakti. Gona is the one who supports, isn't it? So you're very weak in Gona Bhakti at the moment. That is resting. Gona Bhakti. Very strong Mukhya Bhakti. Very weak Gona Bhakti. No? And because we are what we are not self-realized souls, and we do need to take this. And this is obviously not just a wisdom that we can apply during the festival. We need to do that in our lives as well. And devotees ask, you know, it's really in the first three steps. It is very much about supporting us in spiritual life. The next two steps are so spiritual that you will faint. But I can talk like this, so spiritual, because the devotees, that means modern people, I'm not talking of devotees who are already perfected in their lives, who are ecstatically absorbed in love of Godhead. These devotees will require the support. Otherwise, they will leave. They will become attracted to sin for life, and they become atheists. That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this in Chaitanya Charitamrita. If a devotee does not take care of this physical and emotional well-being, people become attracted to simple life and have at the end atheistic worldviews. And that we have seen in our movement, not our movement, the whole Gaudiya adventure has seen that also in India. People who suffer or who are not taking care of their lives properly, they leave the path. We have seen this. This is that happens also in Radhakund very much. You know, it's not our problem only. It's the premature spiritualist's problem, who wants to imagine himself to be somewhere where only his mind is. But the reality of his purification of the heart is not matching up to that. So today will be little, many things will happen, but I request you, for instance, during the initiation, you have time. If you are not initiated, that's a free time. You don't need to come. It's good to come to the morning program and to the evening Nityananda Katha. So navigate yourself wisely, and we should supply a resting facility for the devotees who need it. You can even sleep on my head if you wish. Not directly, okay. It's so important for good. Enough about Bhakti. We want now to hear the direct nectar. Do we have the verse? Yes. Good. You can already place.
Maybe put it on
the radiator. Yeah. It's very nice to see all of you.
What am I? Put it on the radiator.
Wonderful souls.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, Hare
Yes, sì, sì, Majesty Vaingre, Srila Avecchananda Vindara, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada ki
jai,
Anand Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki
jai,
ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki
jai,
Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki
jai,
Prem Se Kaho Se Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki
jai,
Sisi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath, Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki
jai,
O Vrindavan Mathura Dham ki
jai,
Navadvipa Mayapur Dham ki
jai,
Ganga Maya Yamuna Maya ki
jai,
Eka Chakra Gram ki
jai,
Vrindavan Mathura Dham ki jai, Yamuna Maya ki
jai,
Ganga Maya ki
jai,
Bhakti Devi ki jai, Harinam Sankirtan ki
jai,
Gaura Premanandi glories to the assembly. All glories to the assembly. All glories to the assembly. All glories to C.C. Guru and Shivananda. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Nityananda Sahodito
Dadaye
pushpavanto.
Rodaye pushpavanto.
Shito shando tamonudo.
Shito shando tamonudo.
Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya.
Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya.
Nityananda Sahodito.
Nityananda Sahodito.
Krishna Chaitanya.
The sun and moon together.
Chitro
Chitra.
Wonderful. Shamdo.
Shamdo.
Bestowing benediction.
Bestowing benediction.
Samanudo.
Samanudo.
Dissipating darkness.
Dissipating darkness.
Verse. Respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Goda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. Just summarize what the verse says. It speaks of a phenomenon which is very unusual. Sun and moon are not rising at the same time, usually. But here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, who are like the sun and the moon, have arisen simultaneously with one purpose, that is to dispel or dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami then says you need to understand who is Chaitanya Nityananda, and he explains this in the next verse. He says, Sri Krishna and Balaram, the personalities of Godhead, who formerly appeared in Vrindavan and were millions of times more effulgent than the sun and moon, have now arisen over the eastern horizon of Godadesh because they are compassionate for the fallen state of the world. And he now glorifies the two lords. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Ala Prabhu Nityananda Janmala Prakashe Sava Jagatananda. He says, the appearance of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda has surcharged the world with happiness. Today is our happy day. And now he describes a little bit more in detail what this means to dispel the darkness. Of which darkness is he speaking? Do you have any idea? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda are said to dispel darkness. What darkness? I'm sorry? Ignorance. Where is the darkness? I don't see the darkness of ignorance. It's in our heart, someone says. How nice you explain everything. Very nice. This is the logic of Krishna's Kaviraj. He says, as the sun and moon drive away darkness by their appearance and then reveal the nature of everything, these two brothers dissipate the darkness of ignorance covering the living beings. No? It's covering. And enlighten them with knowledge of the absolute truth. So very nice is this. If you have some time, maybe after this festival, please look these verses up. And there are many more to come, where Krishna Das Kaviraj very expertly glorifies Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. You find these verses in Adi Lila, chapter 1. It's already there in verse 2, but I've read from verse 84 onwards. There are many very nice verses to come. And it's interesting to say how they dissipate the darkness in two ways. First is they are preaching the Srimad Bhagavatam, which, as you know, when Krishna left the planet, he saw it was becoming spiritually very dark, so he left a pratinidhi form, something which would represent him even in the dark age of Kali, and that is the Bhagavatam. So by saying that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu dissipate the darkness through the knowledge of the Bhagavatam, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami puts a, let us say, ontological is not the word, a theological frame around the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the brilliant, effulgent Bhagavatam. They teach the truth from the Bhagavatam. That's one way how they deliver the fallen souls from their darkness of ignorance around the heart. And the second, anyone has an idea?
Holy name.
Chanting the holy name. You know, many things, yes? Narottam Das Thakur speaks about this. He says, Dina hina jata chila hari name udarila tara sakshi jagai madai. By the holy name they delivered all those souls who were lowly and wretched. The proof are the two sinners, Jagai and Madhai. So, the chanting of the holy name is something we all require to understand how to do it. Because that's the prime focus of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda. When they appeared, they brought with them really a revolution, a social revolution. That they would have these kirtan events, you could say, which would attract really millions of people to their kirtan. It was just so, one scholar has said, so it was electrifying bhakti, you know, when you came in contact with the Stromkreis, with the current of these kirtans, you were a changed person. People would laugh, they would cry, miracles would happen. Nowadays we pay a lot of attention to spontaneous healings. There are such reports also that people were empowered, they became so strong all of a sudden that 100 people could not hold these children who were in the kirtan of Mahaprabhu. They became so strong, so robust, so health was not such a concern at that time as now, apparently, but people would become so energized that they would sometimes, you know, not know what to do with their enthusiasm, I guess. But it is reported that they embraced trees and uprooted the trees. It's maybe not such an ecologically nice thing to do. I'm sure these trees went back to Godhead when they were in the kirtans of the Lord and were embraced by the madmen of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nityananda. Obviously, kirtans, there were, was no consideration of the big issue at that time, the distinction between different groups in society. They were washed away. Brahmanas, they are singing and dancing, Shudra servants, no problems. Muslims were even invited in the kirtan of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu has written a fantastic paper, the Mandala of Positions in Chaitanya Vaishnavism, where he says that really Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda didn't stop at social barriers of the time. They did not even stop in interspecies barriers, you know, bears and tigers and deers were chanting, and even Gauranga Mahaprabhu embraced the rocks, and they would melt in his kirtan. It was really something else. They brought the spiritual energy here, and therefore they are very known. And even today, they were mostly active in Bengal, but in Bengal, even today, just everyone still knows about them. That it's still in the memory, in the collective memory of Bengal. And those places where Gauranga Mahaprabhu went, like Sri Rangam in South India, for instance, still have temples commemorating his amazing activities. Now, I want to see, do we have enough oxygen? I feel our oxygen servants are absorbed at the moment in the subject of the lecture and not in the service of who is, are they qualified oxygen servants? Because it requires some sensibility of the needs of the devotees. If it's a very new devotee, please assist this new devotee to do his service nice. I should do this. You are by now able to do this very well on your own. Is there someone on this side? Is it a qualified devotee for the service? Yeah? Trying your best, Trisha. You have studied journalism. You know how to do these things. No problem. So, but please, if you are freezing, no problem. For the benefit of others, we do the sacrifice. Should I repeat what I just said, or did you still hear? Because without oxygen, we can't really. I at least become dysfunctional. No. So it was really, please devotees, consider this for a moment. It was really, when they came and broke all barriers. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says that they broke all barriers still in another way. Not that they just only did not consider social or species barriers, if you want. Also spiritual barriers were broken. And that was quite amazing. It said they distributed the highest thing to even those who were not so qualified, actually. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says they broke open the seal, that is the lock, on the storehouse of love of Godhead, and they distributed it even to those who were not really qualified, but they distributed it, and the gift at that time was effective and accepted, because in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, the big blocker of you know what blocks our spiritual advancement was not considered. Do you know what blocks your spiritual advancement? Aparadhas, the these these offenses which we do by our critical minds and our habitual acting, I would say, attached to material life as we are, that was not considered at Gauranga Mahaprabhu's time. When they decided to give the flood of love of Godhead, when the tsunami came, it went to everybody. No one, scholars, yogis, who were really not in favor of bhakti, this was not considered. They were just like in a flood. They were just, the flood is not waiting until I go to this house and not go to that house. No, it just took over everything. That's the mood of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Later, when they disappeared, then this point with the offenses, the aparadas, became formalized in Vaishnava theology, and because it, not that they just made something up, but their offenses are very much considered. Gauranga Mahaprabhu said this, that one who offends the Vaishnavas will not get the mercy, will not get his mercy. Actually, that thing was also going on in it. No, but even Vaishnava aparadis were transformed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eventually. But after him, okay, we have to avoid aparadas. We have to be very careful about this. But during his time, wow, unlimited mercy to everyone. So I feel, because we are post-Chaitanyas, we are coming after Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, unless maybe one or two or three or maybe 10 of you were associates of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, that is possible. No? And they came in this time. Prabhupada, he said some of his disciples were, I don't know, for instance, he spoke about His Holiness Jayaprataka Maharaj as being someone like that, a person who was there in Gauranga Mahaprabhu's time. He is a very otherworldly personality that you consider. Nothing can stop our Jayaprataka Maharaj, not even a stroke. He is very enthusiastic and very powerful. But most of us are coming really after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We do need to understand nicely the process by which they delivered all living entities in order to really benefit from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift of the holy name. How to chant nicely is explained in the famous 8 instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I would like to just go through the 3 verses, the 3 opening verses or beginning verses, so that we have some idea. Mahaprabhu starts by saying that this process cleanses the mirror of the heart from all impurities. Then in the second verse, he says, although this chanting is equipped with so much power, there is a problem with me. Because of my aparadhas, I just don't have a firm attraction to the holy name. This problem I experience as a heartbreaking problem in my life. How is it with you? Do you also sometimes feel not sufficiently attraction to the holy name? It is a problem. I think we all know. Sometimes our japa or our kirtan is, I nowadays say, when you chant the whole, in the mirror of the holy name, you find out what you really are, and not what you think you are. But the mirror of the holy name also encourages you and shows you what you can become. This is encourages you, and the greatest spiritual goals seem to be all of a sudden in front of you. It seems to be possible. Yeah. Do we have oxygen at this stage that the window is open?
Yes,
we have. So what to do with this problem that we have no attraction? Then in the third verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us a solution how to overcome our lack of disinterest in the holy name. And our, it's not disinterest, it's often lack of taste because of our material habits and our apparatus. The taste is not there. He says, no, you must chant in a specific way, and then you can also chant. That is, you must become humble. You know, when you see how you know the process is so simple, it's so easy, but we are so complicated and so you know, sometimes complicated people. Everything is easy, but why are you so unsatisfied? Did you notice children sometimes are like this, or also people? Why do you make a problem when there is no problem? Why are you like this? Have you ever asked yourself this? So when we see why am I so problematic that everything was given so freely, and I just have to. And I still do not have any attraction, although I understand it's good, I believe it's good. What is wrong with me? So if we become like this, and a little self-searching, and a little honest, we become humble. And it is amazing. If a devotee or a person who applies Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not proud, but is humble, or is at least trying to be humble, he gets the okus, the taste. He gets the milas. You know. In spiritual life, there's an interesting rule that the way up, that is to the higher levels of bhakti, is always the way down. You must first become really humble. There are many Vaishnava scholars they can recite. Poem can they recite. I know even professors at universities, they know better shlokas than any Hare Krishna devotee. Yes? I know one professor of Indology. My God, he's a genius. And he's also now becoming a devotee. He's good, but he was not always like this, he says. He had one experience which made him realistic of who he is. But anyways, if you are... the way up in Vaishnavism is the way down. You must bow down, mister. You must become humble. This is... And we will see soon from the Shastras how the way up is the way down. I quote some verses so that you read it, or that you get some further encouragement on this point. Nityananda's mercy comes to you when you learn to bow down low. In the fifth chapter of Adi Lila, verse number 208, it is said, because Lord Nityananda is intoxicated by ecstatic love and is an Kripa avatar, an incarnation of mercy, he does not make a distinction between the good and the bad. Very famous verse. Prema Matta Nityananda.
Prema Matta Nityananda.
Matta means mad. Kripa Avatara.
Kripa Avatara.
Uttama Adhama Kichu.
Uttama Adhama Kichu.
Nakare Vichara.
Nakare
Prema Mata, he is intoxicated by Prema. And Kriba Amata, he is the mercy, incarnation of mercy. Therefore, Uttama Dharma Kicho Nav Kare Vichara. Vichara means distinction. He doesn't make a distinction between the good and the bad. Then, Ye Age Padaye Tare Kalaye Nishtara Ateva Nishtari Lammo Ena Durasharam. He delivers all those, please listen carefully, because now the qualification comes, he delivers all those who fall down before him. Therefore, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami speaks about himself, therefore he has delivered such a sinful and fallen person as me. Hare Krishna. So this process of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, by which they spread their ecstatic love, let us summarize, is they give it to the humble. This reminds us a little bit of the Bhaktivinoda Thakur would say, the great Christian saver, Savior, Jesus Christ, he also says, the meek and humble shall come into the kingdom of God. Something like this. My Bible knowledge is not so. You're a Bible person? Not so much. But meek and humble. What?
Shall inherit the earth.
The meek and humble shall inherit the earth. It's a qualification which is required. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he brings this quality out. He says you should become humble in the face of seeing how much you are still not able to take the process which is given to you. This is his logic on this. Yes, like that. So in other words, Nityananda does distinguish Uttama Adama, who is good, Uttama, or who is Adam, but he delivers prema to those who have this qualification, Padayetare, who fall down before him. If you are proud, will not fall down. I remember a very famous lecture of Srila Prabhupada, which I felt was very much to the point. Actually, it is not a lecture, it's an answer to a challenge. He came in 68 to Seattle. Seattle, it is a town in America. And he delivered a lecture. And at the end, a student, an intelligent student, spoke to him about, I think, a subject which is important for us also. He said, I feel that as human beings, we are more or less equal. So I don't feel I have to bow down to anyone. Equal rights. I feel as human beings we are more or less equal. So maybe he saw that the devotees were bowing down to Srila Prabhupada and was therefore a little disturbed. So I don't feel I have to bow down to anyone. Now listen to Prabhupada's answer. You will see it's brilliant. You have diagnosed your own disease. That is the disease of materialism. Everyone is thinking, I want to be master. I don't want to bow down. And the problem continued. You don't want to bow down, but you are forced to bow down. Now the young man was not just foolish challenger who was just angry, he thought a little, and he said, yes, I subordinate to my boss, for instance. But spiritually, you know, that's a material field, but spiritually, I don't feel I'm subordinate. There, I'm speaking of this, we are spiritually equal. Of course, one is the boss, and one is the worker, that's a material distinction. But spiritually, we are equal. Srila Prabhupada said, you're bowing down to everyone, materially and spiritually. You're bowing down to your death. You're bowing down to disease. You're bowing down to old age. You're bowing down to so many things. You are forced. And still you're thinking, I cannot bow down. I don't like this. So the question is, a very important question now. Where shall I be happy even by bowing down? And Prabhupada said, that is Krishna. You can see our Ananda Chaitanya as Nandandavan Parikrama around Giriraj Govardhan. This must have been... Do you have any idea how many obeisances one does? And you are a mathematician, you live a computer, you can't tell.
10,000 or something.
What?
10,000.
10,000 obeisances. This is
plus minus.
Plus minus. a few more or less really don't count. 10,000 obeisances. People do this. And the experience afterwards is just, fuck, you're so happy. You feel as if the whole material existence has been taken away from you. Those who do know this, you know. You feel so, and it's not easy. It's really like, for a weak person, it's really, oh. Even Ananda Chaitanya, who is a young, strong, energetic person, afterwards felt some pain in the body. Not some, for half a year he felt it. For half a year. More. Half a year plus. More, yes. Only after a year, maybe after 10 months it was gone. It's intense. Hare Krishna. But it makes you so happy. That place that is Krishna, to bow down to Krishna, that place you have to find. No one wants to submit. No one wants to surrender. No one wants to bow down. Yes? Yeah. It's a sign of defeat. At least in my education, it's a sign of defeat. Kneel down before someone. Submit to him, to be on the mercy of him. Because when you bow down, we hear, to bow down properly, you need to bow down not just with the body, but the most important thing is with your mind. That means you accept subordination. You know, it's something you do. So this was Prabhupada's answer, and I thought it was a very nice answer. I thought also that the student made a point, yes, which is relevant to us. No? So Krishnadas Karamiraj Goswami says, anyone who bows down or falls down before Nityananda Prabhu. Falls down means it's a dandavat. Dandavat means you fall down like a stick. The stick doesn't really bow down, you know, like get his bear down, goes, and the end of the stick goes down. No, he goes like, whomp. He falls down. So it's more than just, you know, it's really a submission, really a surrender. that anyone who falls down before Nityananda Prabhu, even as if he is Duracha means a sinful and fallen person, will be delivered. And he said, even myself, I have experienced this in my life. He says like this, he saved me. And then our Vaishnava, because this is a very important point in our Vaishnava wisdom, that even if you have no qualification, you're not learned, for instance, or you're not sense and mind controlled, you're not pious, you're not even dharmic, all these things, if you just have this one qualification, that is to be humble or to bow down or fall down and really ask for the mercy, then at that time you will stand a very, very, very good chance. Everything is overlooked and now your path is clear. Do you feel, do you understand this is a religion of falling down, Mahaprabhu's, or bowing down, really. It's not about this qualification and that qualification. The only thing is this humility must be there. Do you understand? I'm not so clear. Maybe I'm hazy in my brain and cannot say this. This is the der Knackpunkt, we say. Der springende Punkt, how do we say in German? And in English, it's the point. The point, man. Now, because this is something outstanding, this is a new movement. This is a new theology. It's a new spiritual development in the spiritual traditions. We need proofs now. And the proof which is given is famous, Jagai Mata. I will only briefly mention them here. It is said that Chitragupta, the secretary of Yamaraj, who made the list of everyone's sinful activity, had a nervous breakdown when he saw the books of sins, you know, of Jagai Madai. They were really bad. They were really, I mean, the Rolling Stones are pious singers in the chorus in relationship to Jagai Madai. The people of Nadia knew they were so powerful that even the polis or the juridical system had no power over Jagai and Madai. Not even the Qazi could censor them. It said even Ravana and Kamsa were no match to Jagai and Madai. Apparently they were really bad. Maybe like Mirko. You're really bad. I don't know. Mirko may be a good man, but I'm just very bad. You know, once Haridas and Nityananda, they thought if they become devotees, the glory of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will spread very quickly everywhere. So especially Nityananda had this idea, and they went to Jagai and Madai as they were lying in the streets of Navadvip, surrounded by a curious crowd of onlookers who kept like a safe distance from them so that they would not attack them. And Jagai and Madai were just there and fighting with each other, And drinking and so on. Then Haridas Thakur and Nityananda come and sing Bolo Krishna Bhaja Krishna Koro Krishna Shiksha Bolo
Krishna Bhaja Krishna Koro Krishna Shiksha.
sing Krishna, worship Krishna, follow Krishna's instructions. You know, just see this in your mind's eye. These wonderful Vaishnavas come to these drunken, dirty, violent sinners and just say, sing Krishna, worship Krishna, and follow Krishna's instructions. They were infuriated. And Jagannath Mahadai, they attacked the two. Haridas Thakur was an older man at that time. Vityananda was very robust. They were just running away from them. So then Vityananda came a second time, at another time. And again, he pleaded with them. He must have thought, the first time it didn't work, now try again. So he went before them and requested them to start chanting the holy name. And Jagai was a little reserved, but Madai attacked. Some of you have maybe come from some scenes where you attack. You take a bottle, you break it, and then you have the most dangerous weapon. And this is exactly what Jagai did. He broke a pot and he had his weapon to attack Nityananda. He threw it against the Lord, you know, like a ninja checker. And it hit Nityananda on the forehead. It was well aimed with the intent to kill. And it drew blood. There are some devotees around or some informants, people. They ran to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, reported him. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did something which showed his love for Nityananda. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a Channa avatar. He hides his divinity most of the time. But here, he just forgot about this hiding. He invoked the Sudarshan Chakra, the ultimate weapon of Lord Vishnu, and was about to kill the sinners when Lord Nityananda fell down before his younger brother and intervened. He said, he begged for them. He said, please consider our incarnation. We are coming this time differently than all other times before. Our purpose this time is to save the fallen. It's Kali Yuga where everyone is fallen. So please remember this. If we now kill them, if they are killed, which is an easy thing to do, the Sudarshan Chakra can kill a whole nation, you know, like this. If we kill, then the purpose of our incarnation is spoiled. Please consider this. On my behalf, out of your love for me, please consider this. And this is why Nityananda is praised in the Vaishnava, amongst the Vaishnavas. He personally reminded the Lord of the purpose of his Kali, the Kali Yuga incarnation. He personally intervened and saved. And here, at this crucial point, that Chaitanya's mission was really on the testing block. At this crucial point, he made a point, he made a stop point, and said, we must save the fallen. And Jagai and Madai are not just some historical people who died long ago, but they are representing the most fallen of Kali Yuga. And that's why their example is again and again quoted. I was really wondering why is so much talk is made about these sinners. Should we just ignore them? Why is it so important that they were saved? It's important because it shows you the mercy of Chaitanya Nityananda. And by the way, both of them bowed down to Nityananda. They fell down. Madai and Jagai and Madai, who were initiated as Jagadananda and Madhavananda, were for the rest of their lives in great difficulties, you would say, psychologically maybe, because they could not forget that they wanted to attack Lord Nityananda. They just could not forget it. They could also not forget the things which they had done before they came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. And they asked the two lords for something they could do to make good of their bad activities. And as you all know, they were given a service where they served humanity at large by building a bathing ghat, where they served those who, the pilgrims who came, by cleaning after them and so on. It's very interesting here that they were repentant, they couldn't forget. When you read in the Bhagavatam the Ajamir story, Srila Prabhupada gives there a little comment which I find it important to mention here. He said, we members of the Hare Krishna movement should never forget what we were before we came to this movement. We should be repentant. You know? We should not forget who we were and what we are now. I think we should be a little grateful how disoriented we were, how we did not know, had no idea of a purpose for our life, no concept of how to obtain love for God. Oof, that was no concept of what we did, how we were disturbed. Some of us, I know as a preacher, many of the city, we should not forget this. We should understand we have now a chance and remain humble. We are not special, but the mercy is special which is given to us. I feel this is important. I feel this is very important. I would like to now ask a challenging question to my lecture. A question which I was struggling for a long time in my spiritual life when I tried to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift. But the question is, how is it that the highest type of devotional service is offered to the most fallen people of Kali Yuga? My physical father challenges our movement and our work also like this. He's nice and sympathetic. I don't want to give the impression that he's bad, but he is thinking and he has seen devotees and he says, you have the wrong audience. You give the highest things which require a high degree of qualification to people who are just from the street. This will not work. And then he remembers his contacts. He visited the temple in Schloss Wettershof and he saw one scene which particularly disturbed him. There one, you know, he was driving with the Matajis to the temple, and the Matajis were very enthusiastic. All the devotees were very enthusiastic. our top distributor at that time, I will not tell the name, was explaining her collecting techniques, while my father was interestingly listening in what association his two sons had come. Then Miss Maharaji explained that you give the book, then you say, here, this is for all the nice people. She was explaining to a new bhakti. And then, so you give the book and you say, here, this is for all the nice people. How nice my father thought up to this stage. And then you say, we are just asking for a donation. And then he will be charged by your kindness. He will open his purse. And then you take a big note, 20 or 50 German marks, and you say, that's all right, isn't it? And you smile. Very affirmative, you know. It's effective. If you ask someone, if you nod at someone, try it. Then the other person nods. You know, it's called bodily communication, physical communication. You can try. I mean, not this. You should not try this. But just greet someone. Good morning. And go like this. They will also go like this. You please try. You can experiment. Non-verbal communication is called. Not physical communication. Non-verbal communication. So, my father, what? These, my sons are with these people? So, this was the reason, as far as I understand, for his comment. You give the highest to people who are cheating even. You know, that was... And the son always, in some ways, even if he protests against the father, there's always the father will remain some type of authority. And sometimes I also felt like that in my life. And to be very honest, I was influenced by this mentality. Sometimes I also felt like this. Will it work? Do we absolutely need no qualification? Working and so on. But it will work if you fall down before Lord Nityananda. Prabhupada once said about his disciples, I'm dragging them out of the gutter. Gutter? What is that in German? Ich ziehe sie aus der Kanalisation raus. Also richtig, that's when you are down and out. Gutter doesn't just mean the street, it means a part of the street which is really, really contaminated, you know. I'm taking them from there. And so our Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur asked the question, how is it that the highest type of devotional service, that is service to Radha and Krishna, my dear devotees, that's Madhurya Ras, the Western concept, the Western theology doesn't reach there. It's only mentioned just one time in the Bible. There's something about we are the bride of Jesus, but not, it's not really, there's a hint, but the idea of this is so high. How is it that this is offered to the most poor people of Kali Yuga? And Vishwanath Chakravarti says, well, Gauranga Mahaprabhu and I suppose Nityananda also, they are brothers, you know, it's like a king who has become intoxicated and he runs into the treasury and takes out his most precious gems and then goes out into the street and starts giving them away to the poorest people on the street. That is Chaitanya. And how this is? How? Why? Krima Avatar, the incarnation of mercy. The incarnation of mercy. And I believe that's our chance to connect there to where the mercy is given. And just not hesitate. What can we do on our own? How qualified are we for spiritual life? We don't even have a clear understanding who we are. The basis is not clear. Yes, theoretically, we know we are the body. But I just talked yesterday to a wonderful devotee. There is a death case in the family of the devotee. And the devotee said, I'm so affected by this, you can't believe. It's not a very direct, it's not a blood relative, it's just the husband of a sister. I'm so affected by this. And my first response was, I think that's very good. Do you have some feelings for your sister? And now the two children have no father. Father died because of cancer. I think it is good to be a compassionate Vaishnava, to be sensitive. And the devotee said, yes, all right. But I'm not worried because of that. I'm worried because of my own realization. I just can't understand. He is different from the body. I just can't understand it. Compassion is good, yes, and I will be compassionate, and all of this. That's not what disturbs me and bothers me. I just can't understand. And it makes me shocked that it means I myself can also not understand that I'm the body. I'm decorating the body. I'm disturbed that there's pain in the body, and I'm intolerant of a little austerity. I freak out. I'm just such a neophyte in spiritual life. It's embarrassing to admit it, but I can say it to you like this, the devotee spoke. And I could emphasize with this. I felt, oh, now getting my lesson. How qualified are we even in understanding? I mean, not theoretically, practically, I'm not the body. How does this show in our life? How high is our tolerance level? How free are we from anxiety with our so-called security, which is only for a few minutes there? We will die anyways and lose everything. It's just even a little bit jeopardized. You know, where are we really? Let's be honest. We are what we are. Or let's express it positively. We are in need of mercy. We need some mercy. We need some shelter. No. We really need it. It's not a luxury item. It's a need, a desperate need. And we want to be in spiritual life. Where will you get it? I think you get it at a place where no one asks for your qualifications. But this one qualification must be there. Bow down, mister. Bow down, sister. You know, and not just, oh yes, I know the song. Yes, humble, yes, humble. No, this, we don't want a little humble person. We want to see someone who is really understanding, I need the Leelas. You know, who behaves like that in his practical dealings. Not just, okay, meet your mother's appearance, stay by her, try to be humble and serve the Vaishnavas. No. We want to see, this is required. This is ye aage padaya tare ye aage padaya tara tare kada ye nishtara ate va nishtare lila mo ena duracha. He delivers all those who fall down before him. Therefore he has delivered such a simple and fallen person as me. Find out that place in your life whereby bowing down you will become happy. Look for that place. This holds true as a general principle. Maybe some of us have not yet found that place where they can surrender and be happy, but you need to do it. So surrender to Krishna, some aspect, some form of Krishna, a deity, some leela where you understand, oh, my Lord's qualities are so good. This is my Lord, the Lord of my heart. Find that. Don't practice mechanically spiritual life, because humility is not something you can do mechanically. It must come from inside. It must be real in order to be real. There are many things you can just say, or you can intellectualize about something and pass in life. No? A professor, for instance, to do his job doesn't need to be humble. He can be an arrogant pig. Sorry, I spoke my old Hamburg tongue, arrogant person. But here in spiritual life, you're dealing with God. You have to be real. You have to interpret the word of the small people, means the humble people. The way up is the way down. Yeah. I wanted to bring out this point because I just know it is an experience. It's not something I'm just saying because it's a text. I just know for my life, if you are realistic about yourself, everything is given to you. The first time I knew it was when I went on Sankirtan. It was very difficult for me to distribute books. Very difficult. Because it was difficult to make a contact with the people. You know, when you leave the material society when you're 15 years old, that is just a teenager at the end of puberty, you know, you lose some contact. What was on? Just to talk, they wouldn't understand me, I wouldn't understand them properly. It was. But I just found out when I really started to pray to Krishna and said, I want to do this service for my spiritual master. Please, I know I'm not qualified, but please. And we came out. All of a sudden, the books went out. This was the first time I saw it. Wow! But I couldn't always repeat the experience. Obviously, you can't just psychologically work yourself into humility when you come from Hamburg. Then you have to be proud to survive, you know. And so on. And again and again, I see this, for instance, when I try to chant my Navrata, because I'm not a good chanter, it's difficult. And sometimes it goes for days. It's so hard before finally, gang. I notice you can't chant. You have to pray for mercy. No, but I give Japa retreats. I know. Do you want to hear some verses? Or some complicated theological issues of the Holy Name? I can explain, says my mind. No, you are an unrealized beginner. You know, just don't disturb me now. And then you go and you become humble. All of a sudden you chant like you don't want to stop any longer. It works, in other words. The word is given, says the Krishna. I mean, I don't want to quote the Bible now. Everything is given to you when you come to that place. This is the speciality of the Kali Yuga and the Kali Yuga avatars. Talk a little about my own realization here. I wish you all the best, and think about what you have heard. Wonderful. I have many things here for you. So yeah, thank you very much for listening. I hope there was something in there for you. If you wish to find these verses about, please go to Adi Lila chapter 5, verse 208. It's very interesting to read that, because an autobiographical, someone talks from his experience. In other words, our Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. It describes how he met Lord Nityananda and how he became a recipient of mercy. He describes at length the meeting, and then he was blessed to do the final biography about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There were many understandings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time, but he wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and that is accepted by all the different Vaishnava groups. Even now, there are the Babajis who think differently than the followers of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and so on. But also they know this is their Bible, Chaitanya Charitamrita. There is no point. No one argues with Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was empowered by to write the final work, a very difficult work, very difficult task, to bring the Vaishnava world theologically together on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was empowered. Huh? And he says, I can see it. I got the mercy. It worked. So, now, I want to just see, is there a devotee who would like to ask a question on this subject? Sundarananda.
Thank you very much for this very wonderful
and inspiring presentation. What could be
better? Power on.
Thank you very much for this very inspiring presentation. I was shocked when you were explaining the service of Madhavananda, ex-Madhe. And when you were explaining that we should bow down, I understood that actually I don't know what it means. I'm doing this regularly, every day, a few times a day. But I often think about self as a very special this and that. And although Jagannath Mother were cursed by their own reactions, but to do such a menial service, cleaning the voluntarily, not as a prisoner or that someone forced you, it's really extraordinary and very difficult. And it's a very nice example of acting in a very humble way, and I cannot imagine myself to do this. Sometimes for festival, when everyone sees me, and this is very nice, but afterwards, regularly, every day, to have such attitude is almost impossible for me. And while you were explaining, I understood it would be very nice to have this attitude and consciousness, and then most probably my spiritual practice would be wonderful. But how to do this voluntarily? The answer is in my red bag. One moment, I would like to give you an authorized answer. It will be a very pleasant answer. Yeah, that. By the way, I know you have humility. Don't worry. I know you personally. I'm not saying something personal. But now, coming to the question, humility is described in some cultures as a vision of reality. I think I have this from China. Some of these the early philosophers had a vision of reality. I always liked that because I think the humility is resting on this quality to be honest with oneself and just come to a real assessment of oneself. Now, of course, if you look materially, we all have our qualities. And someone, we may be intelligent, know a few languages, you know, for instance, Croatian and English very good. That is more than normal Croatians know, you know. So there are some qualities. What to speak of other qualities, you know. I'm just giving examples which are obvious. So materially, definitely there are differences. Definitely we have qualities. And many who come to Krishna consciousness, at least after some time, I find they are gifted people. We have Gadara amongst us. If you speak with Gadara, this intelligence, wow! Amazing intelligence. You will see. He is also a humble devotee, but you know, so. He developed a machine which is amazing. You can sit on it and travel into different time zones. I do not really understand fully, but it's, you know, people know this also in the material world. So yes, there are qualities materially, we can say this. But since we are now talking about spiritual things, it makes things a little bit different. We are fallen souls. We are here in this world. This is a spiritual perspective. We are not with God at the moment, but we are separated. And that is a problem. And it shows in our life. You know, it's very much there. So we are looking on this now. We must remember this. Therefore, this method, which I would like to teach tomorrow at the last day of the seminar, Buddha Shuddhi. We clean ourselves from the material elements to come to our identity as the soul. That's a meditative process which is done by us, and by just learning the principle of this process. Don't worry, you don't have to. It's not a very difficult thing. By learning the principle of this process, you learn to really detach from the body and all its qualities, and understand I'm a soul, I'm part of Krishna, and because I left him, my life has become unnecessarily complicated. No, this is the process which you do before sadhana, before chanting, and before deity worship. It's something. So it brings us to the spiritual platform. That we will hear about tomorrow. Here, when we talk just not so philosophical but more devotionally, I would like to say something. I know this will go very. Now, modern devotees fasten your seat belts. Some intense information will come your way, but be ready to just listen, and then after you've listened, you may think about it, and then come to a conclusion. So, our Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur described this process of coming to our spiritual essence. He said we need to correct our mind from its thinking we are special, and we just take a broomstick and a shoe and beat him. Now, sometimes this was misunderstood, but what he meant with this is we sing a song or meditate about the song. Would you like to hear the song?
Yes.
Fasten your seatbelt, please. I will sing it in a beautiful melody. And it's intense. Amada divan sada papirata nahi ko punyera lesh paere udviga diache ekato diache divera klesh. It's a verse where the sadhaka looks upon himself and finds room for improvement. No? My life is perpetually dedicated to sin. Thus, I am without a trace of piety. I have given others great anxiety and brought only misery to living beings. For the sake of my own pleasure, I'm not afraid to commit any sin. If I study my heart, I find I'm without any compassion and full of selfishness. I feel sorrow when I see others happy. I lie like anything when it's for my interest. And the misery of others delight me. There are unlimited material desires within my heart. I'm full of anger and devoted to false pride. Indeed, I'm always intoxicated by conceit. That means I deceive others. No? The outside is different from the inside. And I'm bewildered by mundane enjoyment, envy of others, and egotism are my ornaments. Plagued by indolence. What's indolence, Hare Krishna?
Laziness.
Plagued by laziness, I'm disinclined to perform pious work. But I'm enthusiastic to undertake forbidden deeds. For want of prestige, that means because I want to be prestige, I behave most dupliciously. I cheat others. I have been destroyed by greed, and I'm always filled with desire. I'm such a rascal, and I'm rejected by saintly persons. I'm a perpetual, that means continuously, offender. I'm devoid of good deeds and habituated to vice. Vice means bad things. I'm oppressed by various miseries. You know who is saying this? You will now hear the author. Now I'm old. I do not have any cure for this. But I'm really humbled and I'm pure. This Bhaktivinoda submits his sorrows now at the feet of the Lord. The song is called Amara Jivana. Now for you, it's part of spiritual practice to have this, humility, practice in humility. But there are other practices also. There a lot of hope is given despite one's disqualifications and so on. It's not the only type of prayer. It's one of 12 different ways of praying to the Lord. Another form is just, this is Dainya Bodhika, but another form is just to pray for mercy, just very hopefully. I know you are the Father of the universe, and I'm also your created being, therefore I stand the chance. There's also this type of prayer, but here you asked how to be humble on the daily basis. So Dharananda, here's the song for you, Amara Jivana. It helps. Or if you cannot relate to this, you read it, but you know, I'm not so sinful. I'm not like Bhakti Vinod. I'm not qualified like Bhakti Vinod Thakur. If you can't relate to this for some reason, I would say just be realistic. Look a little on your spiritual realization and where you stand. And if it does not come naturally, then try to act humble. And already it's good, you know, that you do that. I'm sorry about this joke. I should not joke like this. Sorry. I know that there are other questions, but we want to greet the deity still. And, oh yes, it's now 15 minutes to 10. Is it true? Yeah.
10:30.
Oh, I forgot to wind up my wristwatch. It still works. No one needs to get, you know. This is very good wristwatch. I don't need any. This is fine. Well, so everything is ready for the deity greetings. Is Ojashmi ready?
Joshua is not here.
Not ready. Good.
He's not here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Water is ready.
Yeah. Good. Then I have very good news for you. We will now all have deity worship. All deity darshan. Deity darshan. Please, you remain here and just see the deity darshan. And afterwards, there is a pause. We meet again for Nityananda Katar in the evening. There's feast and so on. Madam Mohan, maybe you should say now. No, you can say after the day. When did you want to say?
Maybe better now.
Yeah, yes. I just wanted to say during the lunch prashadam, there is Maha Prashad, Chintasha Roy. Has organized, has been with his wife Yamuna in Ekachakra and brought Mahaprasad from Ekachakra to all of us here. We're very grateful as a sign of mercy. And also there's, Mahaprasad from Dauji is of Kulai. I'm reading Dauji means Lord Balaram. The idea is Nityananda Ram. Nityananda is Balaram, so here is also from Lord Balaram in Gokula Prashad. That will be distributed during the lunch prasadam. I suggest that there is maybe Tridasha Roy, do I see? Yes. I suggest it's very easy if either you or any devotee, but there should be a sign that we recognize this is Eka Chakra Mahaprasad, and then go for the mercy. So it's not organized this for us. So thank you all very much. And one thing I forgot to say, very important. Very important. Lord Nityananda, I'm reading from the Chaitanya Bhagavata, was in Vrindavan. He was completely absorbed. When Lord Nityananda visited Vrindavan, he was completely absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Lord Nityananda did not know how the days and nights passed. He could not tell the difference. He forgot all about eating, and only occasionally, from time to time, accepted some milk, which was offered spontaneously by the rich masses. So with the decoration, we celebrate Lord Nityananda in Vrindavan. No, this is with the forest of Vrindavan, you see, and there before the altar you see the crystal clear waters of the river Jamuna. And you will see some more things of Vrindavan. If you look carefully, have you noted the day? Yesterday there was only one parrot there. Now there are two parrots there. But the day before yesterday there were already two parrots sitting there. Yesterday only one. I can see because I'm looking here. And we can see there are many parrots have arrived. They all look at me, but one is bored. He has turned the other direction to you to see if you are listening. Maybe he's listening, seeing if you are listening. Many things you please have to see very carefully everything. On the altar we might see something. So this is the idea of the decoration. And this evening we will hear more about Lord Nityananda in Vrindavan. And also we will hear surprise. Yeah. Good, so let us all carefully raise our arms in the sky and say, Lord Nityananda Rama Ki.